So good afternoon, everyone. So we'd like to discuss the paper about recognition criteria in the conceptual framework. And I'd like to explain a little bit about our paper using this slide. So first, page one of the slide, introduction. And in this discussion, we'll introduce our analysis and proposal regarding the recognition criteria in the conceptual framework. We are hoping that our analysis and proposal will stimulate the debate about ISB's work to improve the conceptual framework. I'm not sure whether our proposal will be accepted entirely, but rather we are hoping that it will be a good starting point for the discussion to improve the conceptual framework discussion. So the next page two. So I'd like to explain a little bit about the background of why we are submitting this paper. The first, we need to look at the ISB's existing conceptual framework. As you see in page two of the slide, in the ISB's existing conceptual framework, there is a reference to the probable or probability, and it is usually referred to as a probability criterion. But in the ISB, the exposure draft on the conceptual framework, the consideration of probability is referred to as part of the discussion of the relevance to a limited extent. We know that there is a certain discussion about probability, but there is a less prominence of the notion of probability in the exposure draft. And against the background, we suggested in the previous ASAP meeting that it might be helpful to have the more robust discussion about the probability criteria in the conceptual framework. But ISB staff suggested that, well, if we introduce the probability criteria in the conceptual framework, the ISB may experience the frequent departure from the conceptual framework in standard setting process. It's not really helpful or desirable, at least for the ISB, in order to ensure the consistency between the conceptual framework and standards. So, based on the comment, we thought about whether we might be able to develop specify the situation where the probability criterion is really necessary, and the other situation probability criterion is not necessary. So this is the starting point of our discussion or the paper submission of this paper. So page three, essentially what we are doing in this paper is the three things. The first thing is to consider whether the probability criterion is really necessary, which is the role of the probability criterion in the conceptual framework. And second is, as I said earlier, when the probability criterion would be necessary. And the third one is our proposal that ISB may want to consider in revising the conceptual framework. So I'd like to explain a little bit about these three things in order of the three things. Page four is whether the probability criterion is really necessary in the conceptual framework. And when we look at the conceptual framework and consider whether the probability criterion is necessary, we first look at the definition of element, because recognition is when we consider recognition, we have to look at both element and recognition criteria. And the combination of the element, definition of element, and recognition criteria essentially provide a recognition filter. And so we first look at the definition of element. And when we look at the proposal, although we do not necessarily disagree with the proposed definition of element, we thought that the definition of element is really open to anything or everything. It said that the asset liability could meet, you know, right of the obligation could meet the definition of asset liability, even if the chance of the future cash flow is just one. So, in other words, as long as there is only one chance of the future cash flow, the right obligation meet the definition of asset liabilities. And so our question is whether the proposed definition of the element and proposal of the recognition criteria in combination provide a robust recognition filter. This is our question. And we thought that at least the definition, proposed definition of element isn't robust enough. And if so, whether it's really appropriate to have the rough recognition criteria, because if we do have the rough criteria or rough definition of element and rough definition of rough recognition criteria, the recognition criteria filter in the package is kind of rough. So it's in other words, it's not robust enough. So we think that there should be there's a need for the effective recognition filter, and therefore the probability criterion would be helpful at least to help the recognition filter as a package to be robust. And so this is our thinking. We noted other reasons, as you see in the slide, risk of inconsistent decisions. We know that the ISP staff submitted a paper or prepared a paper about IS-37, and which essentially said that even with the revised conceptual framework, the IS-37 is not necessarily to be changed. Rather, a revised conceptual framework may provide the foundation to support the IS-37 requirement. But different people have different minds, and some might feel that the revised conceptual framework or proposed conceptual framework could provide the foundation to provide different recognition filter or criteria in IS-37. It requires judgment. And so this is one of the other reasons. I'd like to skip other reasons. So, but these are the some of the reasons why we think or we thought the probability criterion would be necessary in the conceptual framework. Moving on to the page 5. So the next question is when, if we really think the probability criterion would be stated in the conceptual framework, the next question is when the probability criterion would be necessary. And as an introduction, as I said earlier, we don't think that the probability criterion is always necessary in all the standards. Rather, we think that there's some cases where the probability criterion is necessary. And in this paper, we focused on our analysis and discussion of recognizing asset liability, because the income expense is really change of the asset liability. So the first focus we thought would be an asset liability. And also there's some discussion about whether to recognize executory contract, but we do not discuss the recognition of executory contract because we generally agree with the ISP's proposal in the conceptual framework. And so we don't think it's necessary to really discuss in detail about the executory contract. And based on that introduction, we are making the proposal in page 5. But maybe I can come back to this proposal later, because I'd like to explain the rationale of why rationale of how and why we are making that proposal. So moving on to page 6. I think one of the unique features in this paper is to classify events into transaction and other events. We know that the asset liability is recognized as a result of past event, so there needs to be event in order to recognize something in the financial statement. And so we thought, what is the whether we can classify into events to some category, and if so, what is the appropriate classification? And in thinking about that, the generally we think that event could be defined as a happening of consequences to an entity. The event could be everything, but in order to capture the right obligation that has an effect on an entity, we think that happening of consequence to an entity is the right concept, or generally appropriate concept. And based on the concept of event, we classified into transactions and other events. Transactions are the transfer of something of value between two or more parties, and other events are events other than transactions. So we classified events into transaction and other events. So the question of why you classify the event into transaction and other events, the reason is that when we think about recognition, we think the key is how to reflect the effect of uncertainty into the financial statements. And in thinking about how to reflect effect of uncertainty into financial statement, we thought that there are three ways to do that. One is to reflect the effect of uncertainty at recognition. The other is reflect the effect of uncertainty at measurement. And the third option is to both. So, and when we think about transactions, particularly the transfer of the exchange transaction, maybe it's the most easiest pattern, but for transactions, effect of uncertainty is reflected at the measurement. So for example, when we think about the exchange transactions, the effect of uncertainty is reflected at the transaction price. So we do not have to think about effect of uncertainty at recognition. Rather, this is because effect of uncertainty is already reflected at measurement, which is the transaction price. And there are other non-exchange transactions we recognize, but the same principle could apply to other transactions. Well, the reason is explained in this paper. But when we think about other events, the effect of uncertainty should be reflected at recognition, and therefore the probability criteria is necessary for the other events. So the reason I would like to explain a little bit in using the next slide. So the page 7 is to illustrate a right or an obligation resulting from other events. And the question is whether the effect of uncertainty should be reflected for a right or obligation resulting from other events. And the unique characteristic of the other event is that the future cash flows resulting from the right obligation arising from other events is often dependent on the occurrence of events outside the control of an entity. In case of transaction, there are two or more parties, so the occurrence of future cash flows would not depend on the occurrence of event outside the control of an entity, but in case of other event, future cash flow resulting from right obligations arising from other event is often dependent on the occurrence of events outside of the entity. There's some question about interaction between other events and transaction. For example, even if there's a lawsuit, the lawsuit was raised from the third party, and the lawsuit, the possibility of event or possible event that might have occurred is might itself is might be a other event, but when the court determine court decide on the decision, and the court decide on the payment of the entity to a third party, from that time there is a transaction because an entity has to pay some amount to the third party. So the continuation of the events from the other events to transactions. Other event might result in transaction, but other event might result in no transaction. So this this diagram illustrates the interaction or relationship between other events and transaction. And the entity usually has no practical ability to transfer the right obligation to third parties. And this is one of the reasons why the effect of uncertainty should be reflected at the recognition level rather than at the measurement level, rather than necessary at the measurement level. So moving on to the page 8, consequences of not specifying the probability criterion in the standards. I explained the why probability criterion is necessary and when is necessary, and this is to explain what is the problem of not specifying the probability criterion in the standard. And especially we think that future reversal of previously recognized income or expenses, this is a problem. If we recognize the income asset liabilities irrespective of the probability, whether probable or not, we may experience the situation, for example, in the period one, the entity recognized asset liability and corresponding income expenses. But in the future, that will be reversed because of the non-occurrence of the transaction, etc. And so future reversal of previously recognized income expenses would occur if we do not specify the probability criterion. We also considered the how the consideration could differ when we look at the group of items altogether. Even if the probability criterion is not met for an individual asset or liability, there may be cases where it should be judged at the level of group of asset liabilities. And that judgment should apply when an entity has a large number of items with similar characteristics, such that an item as a group are likely to contribute to future cash inflow into the entity. So we are noting that even if the single item may not be when we consider the group of items, the different conclusion may be appropriate. And lastly, page 9, other consideration. When we developed this paper, we thought about other considerations, And the first consideration is whether there may be an application of asymmetrical prudence. We are suggesting in this paper that the probability criterion is necessary for some cases, but we also think that the level of the likelihood differ for the purpose of asset and for purpose of liability. But it, to the extent that it is higher than probable. For example, in thinking about whether the recognition of, let's say, contingent assets is appropriate, we might consider that virtually certain level is may be appropriate. But in case of the contingent liability, different conclusion could be appropriate. So even if we are saying that the probability criterion is necessary for the conceptual framework, we are not advocating that asset liability should be the level of likelihood should be the same all the cases for asset liabilities. Rather, we are saying that there might be cases where the asymmetrical prudence, the concept of application of asymmetrical prudence might be appropriate. And finally, when we prepared this paper, we thought about interaction between the probability criterion is with reliability. We have in the ISP's existing conceptual framework, there are two criteria. One is the probability criterion and the other is the recognition criteria. We generally think that if the probability criterion is met, that we could have the presumption or high likelihood, at least, that the information would be reliably measured. But in some cases, or in exceptional cases, even if the probability criterion is met, there might be cases where the reliable measurement is not achievable. And so we are saying in this paper that it might be helpful to acknowledge that that exceptional cases. So with that, I'd like to conclude my explanation. And the page 10, we have three questions. The question one, do you agree with our proposal that the probability equation should be stipulated more robustly in the conceptual framework? Question two, do you agree with our proposal? If not, why? Do you have any other approach to suggest? Question three, do you have any other comments on our paper? So I'd like to stop here.
Alberto?
as often happens, we are in agreement with our Japanese colleagues. Yes, we believe that the probability threshold should be included in the recognition criteria. Whether it will be highly possible, will ascertain, whatever, what we discussed this morning. it's up to the ISB to decide on the individual standards, as they do it. After all, the conceptual framework is a tool for the standard setter. But we are concerned that contingent liabilities with very low probability of occurrence will pop up in the financial statements. That's one example. Also, we would like to reinstate the word expected in the definition of asset and liabilities. Expected inflow, expected outflow. I would say no more. We concur with most of, if not all of the reasoning behind the SJB paper.
What was your point on the expected one? Sorry.
I think that in the new definition of asset, you've taken out the expected outflow or inflow of benefits to the entity. And we see this expected connected with the recognition, with the probability threshold of recognition to be strictly interconnected.
Thank you. Francois?
Well, let me start with the agreement. And the agreement is indeed that probability has a role to play in recognition, differentiated from standard to standard, but nevertheless a significant role to play. So similarly with the Japanese standard setter, I think that what we have in the proposed ED is just insufficient, just suggesting that a low level of probability, whatever that covers, in some instances, there shouldn't be recognition, doesn't lead you anywhere in representing what kind of outcomes you can have with this in the conceptual framework. It's, you know. So the EFAG is of the view that some further guidance is necessary to at least illustrate and guide the ISB in future standard setting in how to determine the right place for probability at standard level. Having said that, on the face of what we had in the ASBG paper, but it's been just a round of discussion, people had a difficulty grasping what the possible outcomes would be when you would get into this distinction event and transaction and where one starts and the other stops was not very clear, and as a result there was not much support in the first round of discussion for it. So if that proposal had to have a future, probably there should be more developments in articulating how you differentiate one from the other.
Gian?
Okay. our group's views are mixed among members. China agree with the ASBJ's view, and Hong Kong disagree with the ASBJ. Hong Kong argued that the detailed criteria should be considered at the standard level only. The conceptual framework should give guidance on how to construct probability threshold or recognition criteria at a standard level. New Zealand disagree with the ASBJ, but there are aspects of discussion. There could be merit in the ISB considering whether it could say more in the conceptual framework about when probability might need to be considered in recognition. Korea also disagreed with the ASBJ's view. Instead, Korea support the proposed recognition criteria in exposed draft based on the qualitative characteristics of relevance and faithful representation. The removing the probability criterion from the recognition is the right way. However, although Korea support the exposed draft approach to remove the probability criterion and to give less prominence for the role of probability criterion than in the existing conceptual framework, Korea think that the exposed draft does not say much about how and to what extent the probability considerations should play its role in determining the recognition of assets and liabilities. Therefore, we suggested that the revised conceptual framework should provide diverse consideration factors and guidance in assessing whether the recognition of assets or liabilities provide relevant information, especially when the probability of inflows or outflows of economic benefit is low.
Chris?
So Australia and New Zealand would agree with EFRAG in that the conceptual framework should have a little bit more guidance about probability. So we would say that when you're looking at probability in terms of recognition, it's not probability alone. So you do need to look at probability and impact. So we would think that there are some circumstances where you might have a very low probability of something occurring, but the impact is incredibly high, and that would actually make information relevant, and therefore you should be considering recognition of the asset or liability. So that's where we would like to see the extra guidance in the ED, but broadly we're supportive of the concepts that are in the ED. So we'd also echo that there needs to be some thought about use of the terms of very low probability and low probability, given this morning's conversation. Not quite sure what the distinction is. We would also say that if you're going to push on with this sort of approach of splitting between transactions and events, it's not clear what's a transaction and it's not clear what's another event. You might be aware, you might not be aware, but in terms of government financial statistics, they actually use concepts of transactions versus other economic flows. All the things that you are talking about here as being other events would all be considered to be transactions. So other economic flows are really just revaluation changes or movements in volume or some sort of quantity issues. So there are a number of different types of frameworks that are out there. I would certainly also be suggesting some things around, not sure whether something like research and development would be considered a transaction. So there's certainly a transaction as you go through and build up your costs, but I'm not sure how that actually fits with what you're trying to drive to here, and I suspect you probably wouldn't think of it as a transaction. So I think there would certainly need to be a lot more work done on how you would actually distinguish between transactions and other events. So basically, very interesting paper.
What's the threshold for a transaction? You do get in a whole new series.
You get into a loop.
I haven't thought about that. But
yeah.
I think you're right.
Also,
that was also EFRAG's concern.
It occurred to me, if you were in favour of bringing probability back, it wouldn't matter if it was a transaction or an event, because it would just sort itself out.
Yeah.
So trying to determine which is which could largely be a waste of effort.
Yeah. I think you'd spend more time chasing that down than you would actually. So broadly, yes, interesting paper, but we'd rather stick with where the ED is heading, because there's a bit more guidance.
But it was not, you said you agreed with EFRAG, but I'm not sure that EFRAG agreed with you.
What Chris said was very much consistent with the thrust of what
So if we would succeed in the concept in our ED, or the final work, to also bring in the issue of impact, that the combination of low probability and a high impact could also lead to the recognition of an asset, then that would satisfy EFRAG.
I think
that's basically what Chris, I think, said.
I think we haven't necessarily developed that the issue on that angle more particularly, but it certainly I would trust that it is consistent with our reasoning.
Okay. Tom.
My first reaction was that first I very much agreed with you removing the probable from the definitions. And so my first reaction was I'm not open necessarily to putting it back in selectively. But I think that the ASPGA has identified three areas in applying the definitions in measurement that causes all pause, that we have to think about how we address in the framework, and it's not clear to me it's a recognition threshold. They identify existence uncertainty, they identify measurement uncertainty, and they identify potential application of asymmetric prudence, all of which exist somewhere within our guidance so far. And until we identify, what the problem is, I'm not willing to opine on the solution. I think a probability threshold is most likely if the problem is existence uncertainty. Mm. But it's not clear to me in reading this paper that that's the primary problem. And if I think about existence uncertainty, is existence uncertainty across a transaction event or circumstance equally likely for all entities? If it is, then perhaps we ought to think about it as standard setters. But if existence varies by entity, and you would say that there's a problem about existence sometimes and sometimes not, I don't think we can have an overarching recognition threshold, because it won't apply equally to all entities. And therefore, probability might not be the problem, and recognition might not be the problem. Some of the discussion in this paper also suggests, and around this table, that it's not existence uncertainty that's the problem. Because remember the dimension of the paper that said, even if there's existence uncertainty, but I've got enough of similar items that I can measure the outcome well because they're homogeneous, we might want to recognize and measure it. That sounds like a measurement uncertainty problem, not an existence uncertainty problem. And we've also discussed at the table, if it's a low probability, high impact event without much measurement uncertainty, we might want to recognize it. And if that's the case, I conclude the general problem's probably not existence uncertainty, but it may more likely be measurement uncertainty. And then what would I do about measurement uncertainty? I don't think I do a recognition threshold. I do a measurement issue. And the measurement issue is that if there's so much uncertainty around a particular outcome that any point estimate seems arbitrary and not so relevant to understanding that economic phenomena, maybe I don't recognize that item, but I just disclose it. Because that point estimate on the face of the statements would be so highly uncertain, reversing gains and losses and that concern you have. And that might be the better answer, is building that into the measurement chapter, not as a recognition threshold, but a measurement uncertainty item that says, don't measure when it's so, there's no relevance to the point estimate. But it raises the issue then, do we feel the same way about losses as we do gains, or liabilities as we do assets? And we may have a bias to say, even if it's an uncertain loss, we'd want to have that liability and loss recognized, but not the gain. And that gets involved again on whether there's any asymmetric prudence we have in measurement that would be differentially dealt with. It gets confusing, because if you measure something at zero, you're not recognizing it. But my sum outcome of this evaluation is, I think it's more about measurement uncertainty. And my gut feeling, therefore, would say, don't introduce a recognition threshold if it's about measurement, but deal with the problem within the measurement chapter. Again, saying if the point estimate's not relevant because it's so dispersed, put it in the notes rather than in the face. And deal with whether we want to introduce, in a very narrow place in the framework, some notion of asymmetric prudence. Just in a very narrow sense, not so broadly through the whole framework. That would be my conclusion. But even if you went down the path of the ASBJ, I think you would really need to take all events, other events and transactions that are accounted for, and test it to see if you don't have unintended consequences. And I think Chris was already bringing up some of the potential unintended consequences of that division.
About this term asymmetric prudence. You know, if we're going to reinsert that term prudence, I would not like to have two variants of it and have even more confusion out there than what we already do. If you say asymmetric prudence, I suppose that also presupposes that there is something that is that there is such a thing as symmetric prudence, and that you have two kinds of prudence.
Yeah.
I mean, if we do that, this discussion will never stop.
And I fully agree with that. I wouldn't use that term. I'd say in the measurement chapter, you would deal with liabilities versus assets differently when there's high uncertainty. And don't even call it prudence, just say that's how we think about it.
And it's not as if that happens so often.
Yes, I think it would be in very rare circumstances.
Very rare circumstances. Andreas.
Thanks, Hans. I'm very close to where Tom actually is. I think as a general starter, when this was discussed at the World Standards Center, I think we fleshed out that really either you do have an asset or you don't have an asset. Either you do have a liability or don't. But if you feel you need a threshold, I think the only reason for that could be the existence of certainty, as I see it. Because either you meet the definition of there being a right or not. I mean, you can't just say, yes, I do have a right, but I'd rather not recognize it. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. Then secondly, as a general thrust, I would rather keep the population of potential assets and liabilities as broad as possible on the concept level, and then probably narrow it down on the standards level. I think that would be much more appealing to me than doing it the other way around, which would be the consequence. One point that I think could potentially deserve more consideration is what the Japanese refer to their paper as a group of items, the unit of account question. Because it may well be that there are circumstances where for an individual item, you really don't know whether the right exists or obligation exists. But if you do have, if you increase the unit of account, then it may well be that you do know there is an, probably more an obligation than a right. So that is another sort of asymmetry that I can see.
Pensions.
Well, lawsuits, whatever, warranties. Yeah.
Rebecca?
Well, as we've been discussing this, one of the things that we thought was an advancement was actually narrowing it down to the areas that were of concern. So lawsuits being one of the ones was particularly helpful, because always having that example makes it a cleaner discussion. I guess in our, from the work and discussions that we've had, we were supportive of the factor approach that the ISB was proposing versus setting a specified threshold, so it's a step forward. Well, other guidance may be helpful to further expand it, but considering the existence uncertainty, measurement uncertainty, and that low probability, we thought were the right factors to consider. From a where should they be considered, I guess the one thought was, if it is from a preparer's perspective, if it is at the recognition, it's a bit more of an efficient process to consider versus having gone through that step to then the next in measurement. But the one area that I had wanted to speak to was the concern about asymmetrical prudence, that from that perspective, we're not supportive of including a definition, because while it was expressed from a point of achieving neutrality, not understating, overstating assets and liabilities, what we're seeing is that asymmetrical preference. And is that really what we should be striving for or not? And from that perspective, we prefer a neutral approach, such that if we consider these factors at a standards level, might we rethink recognition of a lawsuit as both from the, I'll say, obligation side and the right side, to have a more neutral approach to both. So that was kind of our thinking of how this then set the approach that the ISB would need to consider, and we would then be going through, I'll say, the exposure process and discussions of that.
Yen Cha?
Thank you, Hans. First of all, China believe that some kind of probability criteria needed in the conceptual framework, because as I mentioned before, if even we look at current exposure draft, we have some existing uncertainty, some kind of, you know, criteria about low probability or very low probability. It seems that probability plays some role in the recognition part. Also, we are worried about that if we move out the probability criteria from the from recognition criteria and leave this issue to measurement part, it will be a very big burden for measurement part, and especially for China. It's a developing country. The market is so not very developed, and accountants is so familiar with, you know, old accounting style. If they leave all of those things for their measurement or judgment, try to measure different kind of probability and then to accountable for those assets and liability, it will very cost much, but very will be very difficult for them to apply.
But so Jianqiao, the the standard will tell them. This is just to inform our standard setting.
If as to the recognition part, we narrow down what kind of assets will and the liability will be recognized, and then come to measurement, it seems that the room or the space will be narrowed. But if we open the room for recognition part and then go to the measurement part, it seems that more measurement, a more probability assessment will come out. So this is one thing, you know,
I'm not sure that will happen, because if you look at one category of assets that where measurement uncertainty is very high, intangibles, for example, which we don't generally recognize, it would take change in standard setting for us to require that. It's not as if the Chinese preparers have to find out by themselves using the conceptual framework. So I'm not sure that if we take it out of the definition but put it somewhere in the guidance, that it will change much.
Yeah, conceptually, theoretically, I agree that we need, you know, as I mentioned before, which meeting, because current you know, recognition criteria quite strict, and some of assets are likely not recognized because of probability criteria, but in practice, we do worry about that. If we move out to recognition criteria at, you know, move out to probability criteria at the recognition criteria, maybe measurement part will be a very big burden, you know, for people to assess what kind of probability, and even very low, they have to make assessment and then recognize maybe small amount of assets and liability, but they need to do this kind of work. But at current conceptual framework or individual accounting center, they do not necessary to do this kind of thing. So this first point. And the second, I appreciate the SBJ, you know, address this issue and try to explore what kind of solution we should have. I appreciate this effort, and also I agree with Andrew's point made that actually some kind of consideration of unit account or portfolio we need to consider in recognition criteria. And I also agree with the point made by Chris that in practice maybe it's difficult for us to clearly define and distinguish the transaction and other events. For example, maybe the companies or entities have some put option or call option. Whether it's event or transaction, it seems that when the entities enter the contracts of put option or call option, actually they didn't pay anything. So there is no transfer of value or something like that. But on the current you know, financial instrument, they should be recognized. So in this case, maybe, you know, so we need to define it more clearly. And also, I just checked the even for the transaction, as you said that there is no probability, you know, criteria needed. I checked the IFRS, you know, 15, the revenue, the standards. Actually, when we try to, the recognition part of the revenue recognition, you know, the revenue standards, when we try to identify the contracts, actually, we have some kind of probability criteria there. It is probably, you know, when we make judgment on the collection of the considerations, there should be some kind of probability in price first. But we know that this is the transaction between customers and the entities. So in this case, maybe it's not simply the measurements issue. It's also relevant to the recognition issue. Mm-hmm. And some kind of probability criteria still needed that when we recognize the revenue because of the some uncertainty of the collection of the considerations. So we need some solution, but we need some clarification or further exploration in this regard. Yeah.
Mary?
I think going back to some of the thoughts that Rebecca, but also others raised, I found this paper very helpful in terms of focusing my mind on where the problem area is. But at the end of the day, as I thought about it, I did not support the recommendation for introducing a limited applicability probability threshold, because to me, it seemed, when I stepped back and wondered what didn't fit right, it was more that, first of all, I said, well, what's the principle? Second, I said, why would we want to have transactions give rise to recognition of items as assets and liabilities if they didn't meet the threshold? I think what you were describing is it will rarely be an issue rather than we don't need to have a probability threshold if it's transactions, and I didn't think we'd want to say we don't care if it meets the if you think that a probability threshold is necessary, then I think you want to say it applies to all, and there's just an expectation that it's very easy, very clear to demonstrate. So what you did a lot of work on is pointing out the areas in which it's most difficult to think about probability issues and where we wrestle with it the most. It did make me think back to, Peter's, very often you cite the problem with today's elements definition and the recognition threshold that includes probability is that it's inconsistent with recognizing something like an option. Because it may be improbable, to use yet another judgmental word, that there will be a flow related to the option. But I think what the focus in this paper on transactions made me think again and say, is that a good example? Because you do have a transaction, presumably, and that transaction, we have to remember it's the option premium that's the transaction presumably we're accounting for, rather than the exercise of that option. So, maybe we need to think again about that example as demonstrating that what the problem is today. But I think a problem that remains with a probability threshold is that we get cliff effects. And, as we were talking about this morning, there's a lot of judgment. And so if you have a probability threshold, expected flow of benefits, that means no recognition. And for these things that are very judgmental and difficult, when you suddenly cross from maybe 40 to 50, 55%, pretending that we can measure anything that precisely, you go from zero to a much larger amount. And I think that this paper does not address the cliff effect issue that comes from having a probability criterion. But you also, the second thing that this paper did was a very good articulation for me of the portfolio issue, because if you are accounting for the individual items and you had a probability criterion, then you would have no recognition for a number of easily recognizable scenarios in which we think that there should be something recognized. So at the end of the day, I say very helpful in terms of distilling and saying these are the problem children, but I'm not sure that a selective probability threshold is the way to go about it. I think we have to either say we want one, and we note that generally for transactions to be apparent, or we don't want one, which is the route we've gone, and explaining how we factor that in. I do hear and think we have to reflect the concern that there will be a lot more work if things flow through to the next stage of measurement. And we have to be cognizant of it, but I don't know that that's persuasive, you know, at least to me personally.
I was hoping that the entity, when I talked about it, would not have to deal with the measurement.
Mm-hmm.
It would be the standard setter that decides
exactly.
those circumstances. And then if measurement's going to be typically so uncertain that the point estimate has no relevance, the standard setter would say, don't measure, disclose.
Yeah.
And so it wouldn't be something that the entity has to go through.
Yeah.
We would do it.
That was my whole point in the chat.
Okay.
But people would want to understand how you're going to make your judgment. And that's where the guidance is missing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, until you can tell Joanne how she would reach the same conclusions as we have in IS 37 now, applying the proposed ED, until you can do that, you've not finished.
Yeah, and that's why I said if it's about measurement, not measurement uncertainty, not causing recognition, but note disclosure, that would be something you need to discuss in the measurement chapter as a result of deciding what measures you're going to do. But it would be a measurement decision, and factors about that would need to be there. That's why I'm not sure it's a probability threshold for recognition, but a different set of factors that result in the same outcome that's resulted related to the relevance of a point estimate.
And I found the example in your paper very interesting about you're frustrated that the ED didn't help you respond on rate regulated in terms of giving a framework where you say agree or disagree. I think what that points to is assuming we stick with the ED proposal for no probability criterion in the recognition bit, it means that we have to be very clear, let's say in an exposure draft, in explaining how we assess that so that those responding to an exposure draft can agree or disagree and weigh in about the logic versus just expecting it to be obvious from the application of the criteria.
By the way, I wonder if with rate regulation the question of probability is all that important. But
more a question of is there a liability or asset?
Yeah.
It's not a recognition question, really. So
it's an existence question. It's almost a question of the high probability of the high probability of the flows masking the underlying question of existence.
Yeah.
It's a scope question to define only those fact patterns and relationships that create assets and liabilities. Not every rate regulation creates assets and liabilities. Only very narrow circumstances would that arise. It's scope.
Chris?
So whilst I broadly agree that generally it would be the standard setter that would be covering off on the measurement issues, I don't think you can lose sight of the fact that there will be some times where preparers will have to go back to the conceptual framework for whatever reason, something's been exempted from the standard, etc. So you do still need to have enough guidance in there that it's not going to be completely useless from their perspective as well.
Inconclusive.
Okay.
I think Rachel.
Rachel?
No, that's fine. Unless there's anything key.
Well, did you please, Joe? Yeah.
Very, very quickly. I really liked your paper. I liked your paper because it was simple to read, and I think it was providing some things to really make me think. And I think I think there's something in it, in getting to something quite important, the transaction or other event. The thing that I thought possibly was that it's not, the distinction is possibly not transaction or other event. It should be transaction with an observable price versus anything else. And that helps with Chris and Françoise's problems that I also had, which was how on earth do you distinguish from a transaction and another event? Because there were some things that you thought were other events in your paper that I would have said were transactions. But I think if we're thinking more about is it a transaction with an observable price or not, That's quite a helpful one, because that's the one that made me think when I was looking at IAS 37 that the thing that's quite unique about the transactions, the assets and liabilities and the scope of IAS 37 is that it's not only difficult to get a current value for them because they're not traded, but they typically haven't arisen from a transaction with an observable transaction price either. And because there isn't an observable transaction price, you don't even have an easily observable historical cost, which means that if you are going to measure them, there's a huge amount of cost involved. And so you would only do it if there's a large benefit, which there might not be if the probability of the future outflows is low. So I thought that the notion was good. I think it would be a shame to put a rule into a conceptual framework. But I thought that there was a lot in the paper where we could pick up to strengthen the guidance. So rather than say sometimes if the probability is low, it's not relevant, other times it is relevant, is to say something like if the asset or liability hasn't arisen from a transaction, if there's no observable transaction price for the asset or the liability, whether it's historic or whether it's current, then that might be an indication, the cost of getting a value might be quite high, which might be a situation where the benefits of recognizing low probability items don't outweigh the cost. So you're actually giving more of a steer than just saying sometimes. Mm. So I thought it was helpful, even if I didn't actually think that a rule would be a good idea. Yeah.
Hans, can I make a comment? So, thank you very much for your comment. And I think that it's the concept of the classification between into transaction and other events is maybe a little bit too simplistic, and we did that in order for the concept to be more understandable. But I think the feedback we have received is that it's because it's too simplistic, it's gonna be regarded as a kind of rule rather than concept, and we take that. And I think what you're saying is, and others are saying, I think it's the paper provides some. At least some ingredient for ISV to think about, especially with regard to the observable price, etc. The similar discussion have been provided in footnote 20 and others. So we are hoping that at least you could pick up some ideas and think about how the conceptual framework could be improved. So that's all. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right, thank you very much, Tomo.